Comicmas everyone, happy holiday spectacular annual 2. We're here to talk about all things DC. We're going to talk about Aquaman, we're going to talk about Elseworlds, we're going to talk about Tom King's Batman, because it's been a great year for DC and we are in volume 2 of the holiday Christmas special spectacular.
Well, hello then, merry holiday to you. Welcome to our Christmas spectacular, where we'll be talking about all the marvelous, marvelly Marvel things, like all the new Netflix shows that are coming to... And just, you know, all the Marvel stuff, because Marvel, 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 make mine Marvel, on the second annual holiday special.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News. Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Oh! Excelsior!
Okay.
Woo!
Are we still in the intro?
We're not even an hour into a show. I think
this is like Elseworld. Yeah, this is the Elseworld. Yeah,
we're living on another planet.
We live, everybody. We live.
It is Earth 2.1.
Thank you, Aunt Anthony.
Oh, that was glorious. So, just like last year, we had our Merry Comicmas Holiday Special Spectacular. We're coming back with an annual 2, because that's how comics work. We're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future of both Marvel and DC, because... loyalty to a company is a silly thing. If you love comics, you can love all comics. There is, it's not Bloods and Crips.
No, you can't.
It is not
violent. You're a DC guy.
No,
you're not a Marvel guy. You hate Marvel. You're a DC guy, Mike.
Which is why I'm only talking about DC today. It's not going to happen. So Marvel and DC both had incredible years. I wanted to gather some of my favorite experts on both Marvel and DC and talk about this incredible 2018. So we're going to start with the past. The ghost of Christmas past. All the way back to January 2018 to now.
Hello.
We're going to start with DC television. Now, this year we had Gotham, Krypton, iZombie, Preacher, and then in the theaters we had Teen Titans Go in the past.
Okay.
Of those, what did you guys enjoy? I want to talk about some TV first. We had Gotham, Krypton, iZombie, and Preacher.
Well, I'll tell you, Preacher is one of the best shows on television, period, end of sentence. I think the magic trick with that show is taking a story that I've already read and already love, and it's a different story, but it has a lot of elements of that story, but it's new enough, you know, because I do think it's true that if you know exactly how the story goes, you don't necessarily want to watch it play out again. It's not as exciting. It just isn't. So I love that one. Krypton. It was all right. I thought it was. It looked gorgeous for sci-fi. I think there was a lot of good, canonical DC elements in there. It made it fun. But I gotta say, I do have like a couple of episodes to clean up. I'd be lying if I said it compelled me to the front of my DVR in the way that a Preacher does week after week, where it doesn't sit, you know?
Yeah.
That's the one thing we kind of are learning with so many comic book shows. There's actually shows that I don't watch. Like, I haven't watched The Gifted, you know? Yeah. I mean, like...
Right.
So it's crazy that there's more stuff than I can watch all of.
I mean, has anyone ever, like, seen or written down how many comic book-based TV shows are out there now?
Doing this run, that was
insane.
Like, finding them all?
It is insane. I'm not just talking Marvel, DC. I'm just talking everything. You're just like...
Yeah,
I don't know where to begin.
Because Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, they're all jumping on other properties that are beyond the comic. And Netflix bought Millar World and Extreme Comics with Rob Liefeld. So they're even doing like 90s pouches.
See, they saw that coming. They saw it coming down there. I still haven't. I'm excited to watch the end of Gotham.
Are you?
I mean, because there's 10 left.
You're a good Gotham. You're a loyal Gothamite.
No, I'm not, because I haven't watched the last two seasons. Same thing. I can get into it with the best intentions, and it just doesn't grab me, which is crazy that there's a show that takes place in Batman's hometown, and I'm not, like, glued to it. Like, how spoiled are we now, I guess?
That's the thing.
It's an excess. It's not a negative to me.
You'll probably remember this. I remember back in the 90s, I was excited for Generation X. Remember
that
TV show? Remember that pilot?
Yes, I do.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
You watch that now and you're like, holy
why
God.
And how?
So when people today are like, these shows, this didn't, an episode didn't land for me, it's like, in the 90s, in a comic book kid, when you were watching this stuff and you're just like, and you were loving it, you're like, oh, this is amazing. This is fantastic. And you're
we
like,
we forgave Street Sharks. It's not a comic thing, but that was a very logical show that
there's
we watched a lot of.
So much out there right now. Yeah. Just like, you know, and I don't know. I want to like Krypton. Yeah. I really do. Like, the Adam Strange, what they did with him, he seems more Booster Gold to me.
Okay.
The way that they do him, and I really wanted the classic Adam Strange, but Brainiac was great.
Prayer was great.
There's just so much out there right now. So it's
wait, did
like,
you also say CW stuff? Did you say is lumped into this?
So
past?
That is present because okay. those okay. are
right,
airing.
Those are on now. So out of the ones, were there any ones we didn't mention at all?
iZombie is a big Roxy Strike.
That's a Roxy.
Roxy couldn't make it today. We did not. Roxy wanted to be here. She couldn't make it. She is a giant iZombie fan. That was like the biggest point of her conversation last year.
I'll speak for her on this because she'll say, if you're not watching it, watch it. That's her huge... She loves that show.
Yeah.
I think Roxy could say... I would stand by that as a Roxy quote.
Yeah, it's a Roxy quote. That's fair. Roxy if you're not watching this... Why not? That's my Roxy. yeah. She's, you know, and I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of these passions?
Well, yeah. I've seen a few episodes of iZombie and... It makes me really want ramen. So I don't know how I should feel about that. If you haven't seen it, then you're probably a little bit confused. So you should watch it.
Inside joke there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm imagining something with brains, maybe perhaps, chopsticks, perhaps. Noodles.
Yum.
I don't know.
Doesn't it?
It does sound good.
Ramen's always good.
So exactly. For me, DCTV is usually a little ahead of the curve. They always kind of... I think Smallville is responsible for most comic book television, and that was about 10 years ago, and it lasted for about 10 years. Like, it's not 20 years old, but you know what I mean.
Almost.
It's crazy. Almost. It's like yeah. It's like 17.
That's yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, whoa. So, like, it's approaching 20 years, so I round, but that's crazy. That was such a modern show. That right. That theme and that style is pretty much what the CW does today. And I think
that Buffy... So that started when? In
2001.
2001.
17 years
ended,
ago.
Ended, what, 2011?
So, yeah.
So between years. In that 10-year period between the CBS Flash mm-hmm. and Smallville, what was the big nothing. Comic book
that
TV
was the
show?
Thing, and that's why I give Smallville so much credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buffy informed a lot of Smallville, and Smallville informed a lot of CW, and then a lot of these Fox and Marvel shows are informed by both.
Sure.
So Smallville, I think, was super ahead of its time, and I also think that a lot of these shows, Gotham and Krypton especially, are trying a new format. They're trying a new thing, and they're trying to play with mythology versus the character we know and love.
Yeah.
So I think there could be something akin to Smallville where in 5 years we look back and go, hey, Gotham and Krypton weren't my thing, but they gave us this. Mm-hmm. So when I watch those shows or when I look at those shows,
such
I look at the legacy.
Guy,
I just, you
he's
know.
He's very positive. I love the positivity.
So I think even I love if it's not people. For me, but, yeah. you know.
He looks, instead of shitting on something, he said that shit is going to be the going people, to be the soil that gives birth
say,
to a new plant.
People say that I'm the, you know, the jolly one. I was like, no, Koi tops me.
It's very circle of life, man. And like he is that you are you seeing that's Doctor Strange kind of stuff, man. That's like yeah, some would, advanced.
There's so much in the world that's dark and depraved that I have to be the like the shining. If, you know what I mean? I have to find something.
If it was ever just you and I on a panel about anything, like man, Kalinowski hates everything. Jesus,
just by
as
comparison.
Opposed to, yeah, just by comparison.
But it's the holidays, Mikey so Christmas. I know. And Mikey Christmas and I shop at the same comic store, so this is a really funny thing. Whenever I pick up my pull list, I flip through, and Jandro and Kalinowski are right there, and I was like, I'm going to leave him a note when I read this.
That's
positivity. And that's going to happen. Surprise, surprise. So I think Gotham and Krypton are going to evolve into something. I think both of those shows have a lot of potential. They're a good foundation. Gotham is ending this upcoming season, yeah. And I always jump in when the Joker's on. I'm the problem. The Jerome episodes that spike, I'm part of that. I know they're having to write creatively because of people like me. I accept it. And they're really interesting because Cameron Monaghan plays the hell out of a not Joker. And I'm really excited for this next season when he's finally going to be the Joker. Inevitably, they're going to give us that. And I really think that it's an opportunity to look at source material as flexible. The coolest thing about comic books is a new writer gets on a book and a new artist gets on a book and it completely changes the book. And I think that when you look at stuff like the DC film universe or the DC TV universe, you can play with mythology like this. That's why I think Joaquin's Joker movie is going to be special. That's why I think Gotham can be special. It's because they're not married to the source material and they're taking chances. So even if you don't like it, respect the chances they're taking.
And it really is amazing that is very well said. And that is, it is amazing that we're getting so much content that's made that people are trying to unravel it.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, you got to wonder at what point is there going to be so much stuff that we can't even like keep up with it? That is it going to start to be less and less, or do you think they're going to?
I think it'll filter. I think when the bar gets raised, other shows fall by the wayside. I think that there's a reason. Sure. You know, we look at the phase three of Marvel is very different than phase one, and the certain things that didn't work in phase one, they've kind of thinned out. Aquaman, yeah. I loved, and it's a very different film, so they've kind of filtered mm-hmm. certain things out that other people didn't like. So I think as we progress, these TV shows, they can't have 40 shows like they have right now. It's going to have mm-hmm. to whittle down.
Well, what's cool about it is that now. You literally, it's harder, I would say, to not be a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so
that's
much.
Totally true.
So it's like, I feel like we're all going to include everyone now. So we're all going to be nerds. How great.
That's a very good point. Very good point.
Thank you.
And you know, when you talk about the, with comics, different writers and different artists coming on, like an end to your great run. That's how I look about at like the inevitable recasting that will have to happen. You know, the question that's difficult is like we've never really seen that. It's going to be interesting going distant into the future. Like if you do have to get another Steve Rogers in there or something like that. I mean, with others that are still existing, you know, like that. Is weird. I don't think you have to worry about that for some time because I don't think they're cycling around to those characters for some while. But
when it does inevitably happen, especially with like Wolverine, Wolverine's gonna be the weirdest for me because he was in 9 movies as Hugh Jackman, so it's such a staple.
See, that's I don't think we will ever get another Tony Stark in the Kevin Feige MCU. I don't think there will ever be another actor.
That's possible.
I think we'll go Riri Williams,
right?
You know, Steve Rogers, we will never...
They'll just kind of look at it as
there's
older.
There's Falcon, there's Bucky.
Yeah, I don't think in their MCU, with what they've done, they will ever recast...
When it hits like 25 years old or 30 years old or something like that.
Yeah, no, there's too many legacy characters.
That's
Kane.
What I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
But like Logan, he's going
to... They're going to have to. And that's what I mean. It's so inevitable and it's so soon.
That's the weird
one. And that's the move because the MCU, we've already had... Sorry, we're leaning into the movies. We're going to come back. But in the film universe, we've already had a soft reboot of X-Men. So we're a little more accustomed. We've already grown up... With 2 Jean Greys.
This is a good point.
Whereas Wolverine, he's never been 2. We've had one Wolverine. We don't have a McAvoy-like situation. So it's going to be really hard, especially since Hugh Jackman.
You know why we don't have a Wolverine? Because he's going on tour next year selling out freaking arenas.
Showman.
$800 for 2 tickets for my parents to see Hugh Jackman. It's their 50th anniversary. $800. And I'm not even talking about the good seats. More expensive than the Rolling Stones.
Because he's Hugh Jackman.
That's why Wolverine is like, because I'm going to guy sing. I can sing as Wolverine Tate.
$800 for 2 tickets.
The opening of that Oscar is still one of my favorites.
Yes, I'm telling you, those are not even good tickets. Go look at Hollywood Bowl. Go look at Hollywood Bowl.
That's
insane. That's for decent. That's but like halfway through.
Like
anyway,
a box not. Listen. So, also speaking of film, speaking of movies, the DC movies had Teen Titans Go to the movies this year. I personally really enjoyed that movie. It was a lot of fun. It was very self-aware. It made jokes that I didn't think that a studio that big would make. It leaned into the meta. It leaned into the fact that it references the old Teen Titans that other people like more. It also kind of acknowledged the Teen Titans used to be better. And I really liked, that the movie didn't take itself seriously because it's Teen Titans Go. And it brought me into the theater like a little reluctant. By the time I left, it made me want to watch more Teen Titans Go, which is I think the goal of that film. So I wish it had done better. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I thought Slade Wilson as Will Arnett was brilliant. Inspired casting. Did you guys catch it?
I did not get to see that one. And now I'm going to see it just because I found out that Lego Batman is actually
Slade. And he goes by Slade the whole time, and they just go, Slade.
Great. I've seen scenes from it. I saw like the Stan Lee cameo and all that kind of stuff. I still have not seen that whole film. That is a blot on my Christmas past.
Roxy and I saw it at Comic-Con. We got invited to a screening, and it's not for me. I'm not the audience, but we were in a theater full of the audience.
Yeah,
and they loved it. They're cheering, and you know, afterwards they're reenacting scenes. They had an after party, I think that's what we talk a lot about in DC. Like, I love that DC. You know, they have so many different avenues. So if maybe you don't like the movies, you got the TV stuff that you love, and then they have their kids, and they've got their DC Girls stuff.
Right.
So they have all these different things. Or if you don't like a certain thing. That's okay. You've got other stuff. So
right. Like, I'm more Arrow than Supergirl, but I have the option of watching both.
The fact that Titans Go came out in the same year as Titans, and they have the balls to do that.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
One of the best things I can say about that side of the company that I've seen thus far, that they're willing to go. I mean, because Titans is R.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
no nudity in it, but there is swearing in it.
Have you seen?
And very violence.
The second Hawk and Dove episode?
Oh, I did indeed.
Yeah, nudity.
There's some clever lighting in there. I may have looked through those frames very closely to determine what was
revealed.
Late-night
Cinemax it was pretty Hawk and Dove.
It's getting there.
Wow. So, I agree. That is bold. Titans as a hard PG-16.
PG. Brand confusion. You know, that's how savvy, I guess, the audience is, right? Mm-hmm. Now that you
see,
can
that's
do
the
that.
Thing we talk about. And we kind of, it's a little bit for Justice League. Like, are they going to be confused? It's not Grant Gustin with Ezra Miller. I was like, no, I think audiences don't care. I think they just want to enjoy what they're watching.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the Joker.
And we're all smart enough to know, like, well, this is this. We don't need to know that. So, the Joker thing, we've gotten this numerous times, but I think people just, if it's good,
we'll enjoy it.
People are just going to see it and, you know.
It's one of my most anticipated movies of next year, like hard stop. Like, not just comic movies. Now, worth pointing out, I do a top 10 movie list every year, and it's so rare comic movies make it. I love this medium, I love this genre, but I see film and comic film as very different things, and it's very rare that crossover happens at a top 10. This year is an exception, and I really think it's worth noting that we're, as we're talking about evolution, as we're talking at things getting filtered out, movies are getting better. They're not just comic movies, they're becoming movies. I think that, you know, your Logans, your Black Panthers, your Aquamans, these movies are turning into the things that we want them to be as a baseline instead of that caveat of like, but it's a comic movie.
Yeah.
And this year, while we're talking about the year as a whole, is the beginning of me being like, oh, the Golden Globes noticed. The Oscars might notice in a serious way. We're noticing, and we're not just being biased because we're doing a show about it. We're not just like, I don't go on with blinders. And this was the first year I'm like, oh, everyone's taking these films seriously as films. So at that point, I want to talk about the Marvel side of television. Okay. This year we had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what? Legion, The Gifted, Cloak and Dagger, Jessica Jones, Punisher, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Daredevil.
Jesus.
Quite the year. Those are shows that are all not currently airing. Those all came out before the present. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is renewed for a season 7 before season 6 even drops. Yeah. I don't personally, that's a great example. I don't personally get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not my tempo. It's not my style of acting. It's not my kind of show. Okay. Every person I know that watches it is such a diehard fan that I love it by osmosis. Like I stand over here and go, look how happy.
Yeah.
So personally, not my thing. Legion, however, is a Kubrick experience. It is in-camera editing. It is bold. It is strange. It is psychological. The acting is next level. It is such a risky everything, and it's somehow also that while being the most proper X-Men adaptation simultaneously. Legion is consistently impressive. I love it very much, but if it's a little too much for you, The Gifted is a great, like, street level, we're a team up show.
Like,
they're the two, you know what I mean? They're two sides of a coin, and I love that. Cloak and Dagger really impressed me because it felt like it was in the Runaways universe, and if you know the comics, Runaways and Cloak and Dagger do have a lot of crossover at times. Cloak and Dagger, I love that the setting was as important as the characters. New Orleans was brilliant. It was fleshed out, and these actors made characters that were side characters in the comics at best really, really integral to the world they put them in. I never cared about Cloak and Dagger except for Maximum Carnage, and then these two guys in two episodes, I was like, wait a second, Cloak and Dagger was my biggest surprise of the year. Jessica Jones had season 2, it shifted to a female villain. It was very psychological, it was very gritty, it was raw, it was Jessica Jones. Her brusque exterior finally got exposed, and you felt the vulnerability of Jessica, which was a fascinating take on the season. Punisher, it's December last year, but I'm gonna count it. Punisher was singularly one of the most impressive 13 hours in the history of TV, not just comic TV. It's one of those things that transcends. I thought Punisher
another crossover.
What big subject matter for a comic book show to deal with than like domestic assault, gun violence, politics in a character that's like, I shoot Spider-Man. Like that show, whoa. Iron Fist season 2 was the biggest leap in quality I've ever seen between a season 1 and season 2. Positive boy Koi, gonna lean into that because I was really impressed.
I
love it.
The last 45 seconds of Iron Fist were the Iron Fist we always wanted. Unfortunately, they're the last 45 seconds of Iron Fist. Yeah. But I really appreciate that the show focused on the Zen, focused on the morality, focused on the chi, focused on the things that we wanted from season 1. It learned its lessons, got a new showrunner, showed us what shows can evolve into, and that I think is a testament. Plus, Finn Jones got time to learn to fight. The poor guy was like handed a script. He's like 6 hours, learn kung fu. God. So he had a final year. Iron Fist season 2 is worth watching. And finally, Daredevil season 3.
You're gonna combust.
Daredevil season 3, next to Deadpool, Donald Glover being canceled, is I think the biggest blow to the culture. comic book culture is a loss for Daredevil season 3 being the last season, because I thought Daredevil was the best property out of Marvel, and season 3 is the best one.
I just think they knew they were canceling it. I think.
Oh yeah, I mean, but the cast didn't.
I know. No. They're not gonna tell them. They're not gonna tell them, because then they go off and look for something else. They knew.
Yeah. Like,
it sucks. I mean,
yeah,
they've known for a while these were going to be canceled, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. Disney Plus got, like,
once that was all going up, Disney and all that was like, oh yeah, this is not going to be going, because people are like, well, they'll just take the whole cast and do it over at Disney. It's like, no, they won't.
No, those guys are not going to, that legal, you're not going to send your competitor work.
Right, and I'm of the mind, I don't think Charlie Cox will ever be Daredevil again. I don't think Marvel's going to use him if he's in the films or if they do a new show. I think, because of all
the bad blood that we've heard between television and MCU, and now with the streaming service, it seems like that division can't go on. Something's going to give there. They're going to be unified. They have to be, because the shows that they're talking about making for the Disney streaming service are MCU shows.
Yeah. Right.
So that's why they're not going to relaunch the Netflix-averse. We have to be happy that we had it. I will say, just briefly... you know, Luke Cage appreciated it. Jessa appreciated it. Iron Fist never really gave me the jam that, like, Daredevil did. Daredevil was one of my favorite shows, period, end of sentence, like you said. I thought the third season was, like, a return to form, but I also loved the second season.
Same. Right? I loved the second season. I loved it, too. The hand, Elektra.
You can't have Wilson Fisk every season. You needed that break. I agree, it's the biggest blow, and I think it's just because of all this. It'll be interesting to see when and how Daredevil resurfaces, it's interesting. You couldn't see any of those shows going to ABC, certainly.
And why would Disney Plus want to give Netflix more viewers by looping them back to season 1 through 3? That's why I keep saying,
you know, it's people talk and they're like, oh no, the Charlie Cox in this and that. But think about our Tom Holland is our Spider-Man, and now think of Charlie Cox next to him in scenes. We've seen Charlie Cox swing from a roof to a ledge maybe once or twice in the entire... Yeah. So they're expecting him... Oh, they're going to be swinging their billy clubs with each other. Those two don't mesh.
It's true. What they've done. It's like when people say that about Grant Gustin should be in the movie. Right. It's like it doesn't even look right. It's so different.
What do they say? Like, in their contracts, they can't use these characters for like two years? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think 4 or 5 years from now, we'll get a Daredevil in a red spandexy type outfit. Done well... You know,
dark for Marvel.
We won't have the scenes in the basement of the church. That's not going to happen. No. We're not going to have.
You're not going to have the blood spandex.
Let me say this. So we're watching. So season three comes out, and I'm following Twitter, and some of these guys are like, man, who's up on Daredevil season 3? Man, dude, the chemistry between Matt and Maggie, man. Anyone shipping them? And I'm just going. That. I'm like, I'm doing the Steve Carell gift. Do I want to tell him? Do I want to tell him? Because he didn't know the history, and I'm just like, oh, he doesn't know, and this is awesome. And then everyone's like, don't tell him.
And then he had to be like,
oh, Jesus. Because he was hardcore wanting to hook up. Hardcore, this guy. It was awesome.
So Daredevil season 3 was everyone talked about it. It moved people that weren't even comic fans. Yeah. It showed where things can go. So hopefully Marvel takes at least a page out of that. Maybe that can be our first R-rated. I don't know.
I gotta say, that office fight with Bullseye.
Oh, dude.
They made Bullseye freaking the feel best. Terrifying. I was... So in Matt Murdock's head, trying to figure out what the F was going on in that fight. Yeah. I was like, that was just plucking that out. I mean...
They gave him an arsenal. He walked into an office and then had an arsenal to play with.
I love the fact that we've got the 3 seasons.
It's true.
And it ends perfectly.
It ends great. Yeah. Like, they're going to be...
Yeah.
And you just Murdoch, wish Page, that you... And Nelson. The only thing you wish you would have gotten was a little bit more of him being a lawyer, which you really didn't get that much of because... He wasn't doing it too much, and you know, since it's Defenders, he wasn't really doing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get you.
But then the prison scene again. I mean, it was epic.
That 16-minute fight.
I don't know that for me, and I love Punisher too. I've never liked the character of the Punisher as much as I liked his. The Punisher is not a favorite character of mine. He carries a gun. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But this Punisher was great. By far the best. You know, just iteration of the character for me.
I'm probably one of the only people that didn't care for it. Okay. And I'll say that only because, like you said, like for me, the Punisher is, you shouldn't feel sympathy for him. And I knew the series was going to make us feel sympathetic for this guy. I think Punisher should be like Jaws. Mm-hmm. You see him in flashes and scenes, but he's not the through line. You follow someone else.
Oh,
and he's just this guy that comes in as a force of nature.
Like the Joker in the Dark Knight.
You can't talk to him. You can't reason with him. He's in and he's out, killing people. But I knew you can't do 12 episodes of that.
And Spawn is going to be like that, which I think the Spawn outline is basically Spawn is Jaws, and he just comes in, tears stuff up, and you're following Sam and Twitch.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
The Blumhouse take on Spawn might be what you want. So the Punisher should be our low-budget Spawn is going to be Jaws, and that's brilliant.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. I think Punisher works great for me when he's a supporting character.
Okay.
Because people want him more in season 2. I was like, nope, those couple episodes, perfect.
Oh, he's great. His main season.
On the roof.
Yeah, stuff on the roof. Oh, God. It's so good. Yeah.
Anyway. So Marvel had a great TV year. Netflix stuff is the end. We're going to get the last
Legion
of it next year.
Legion is great, too. Legion,
Legion
is sick.
Is brilliant.
Proud that it's on FX.
Yeah. You guys, I mean, Atlanta and Legion, like, some of the boldest. I'm giving you full credit.
Yeah,
give
me full credit. This guy. You know, I'm lucky.
Nice job up there.
Adam
nice
Gertler,
job.
CEO of FX. You guys really, the boldness that network can take because of the way they founded themselves or rebranded themselves with Always Sunny is inspired. Yep. They were like, hey, this thing we got from YouTube is doing well. What if every choice is crazy?
Rescue Me. I mean, the list goes on and on. It is like a network that you constantly go to for great stuff. And the fact that they took the X-Men property and gave it the Fargo treatment, which they also gave Fargo treatment, which how much of a magic trick is that?
Dude.
And you're right. It is visually, it is Kubrickian.
Yeah.
I can see why it's not for everyone story-wise. Like, it's not the most linear, but...
Yeah.
But then they have The Gifted. If you want linear, if you want a network version of that, you've got The Gifted, which I really respect. And again, no company branding issues, no confusion. One's Fox, one FX. And that's, to me, why I worry about the Marvel buying everything. Because I enjoy the fact that we have FX having bold choices, Fox having linear network TV. As soon as Disney, as soon as the Mouse House owns everything, then we have one style of television.
Yeah.
And I get crap because, like, if you want to call me a Marvel shill, also realize that I'm saying that's bad.
But Marvel does, Disney does now have Fox and FX, I believe.
But I don't know if they're going to hold on to the style of that in the films. Like, I don't know if this Deadpool test, I liked the PG-13 cut because of the R-rated cut. I'm kind of glad it's not like gangbusters because they won't go like, look, we can do it. Mm. And if that had done insane money, I could see them going that way with Deadpool, which isn't the character.
Gotcha.
So I'm afraid of things like if FX, if those channels, since it's a harder bite to take, Legion's a harder bite. Mm-hmm. If they look at the Gifted numbers and look at Legion's numbers, they're going to greenlight the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's my worry, is just the oversight of like them playing the equalizer.
Right.
So long term, I think that's scary. Short term, I'm going to absorb all this content I can. I'll watch Daredevil season 3 10 times.
I know Legion doesn't do particularly great, so it is really good that they keep giving it to us. So thank you,
powers that be.
Yeah, exactly. Powers that be for like, because the numbers are not like super there or anything. Like, people thought it was like, oh, I don't know if they thought it was going to be their Walking Dead or something.
It's like a
that.
Cult show. It's like those movies you watch and they come up 10 years later and you're like, I'm so glad that existed, but they like failed at the theater. Like, Fight Club didn't make money theatrically, and now that's every like 20 to 30 year old's favorite movie.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. Marvel TV, what you got?
Yeah, well, I actually am one of the few that, or not few, but... Well, maybe. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually still really like it. I started doing Marvel TV Weekly panel on AfterBuzz, and I binged, like, over 100 episodes, so I was, like, really in it.
Wow,
yeah. It was a lot. But by the time I, like, got to, you know, the current season, I was like, these guys are great. Like, I've survived all of this with them. Uh-huh. How great. I am excited to see exactly what they do. I wasn't super, super on board with Legion just because it was so crazy, and I was like... I feel like I need to go to therapy after watching this. But it was certainly fun, and I think they're so freaking talented. I think Dan Stevens, just being able to really embody Legion like that is crazy. And it's so beautiful to see on a small screen, which you would think, you know, just with other Netflix shows where you're like, how amazing is it that we get this quality of stuff on a small screen?
Yeah.
Like,
agreed.
Great job.
Golden age of comic content. Long form and short form.
Ghost Rider wasn't this past season of that. It was two seasons ago,
that
right?
I think it was season five, was it? So it was 2 seasons ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
when I popped in.
So at the Chris Farley show, that one. That was awesome.
Now, season 6 is airing January.
No.
Right?
It's like summer?
Summer, right?
Yeah. I give them props for doing the Kree thing. They were like in space a lot.
Yeah.
They were like just in space forever.
I like the framework stuff too. A lot of people didn't.
This was the season that's going to be airing. That was the one they were on the fence with for a while. Mm-hmm. And they didn't say it was greenlit. They were waiting.
And
then
they
did it.
And greenlit the next one already.
But then they already greenlit. So there was no, because I thought this was going to be the last one that they're doing.
I think
they were done.
They were the Disney Plus app, I think.
Okay.
That's my vibe. They waited a really long time for season 6 to greenlight it. And then all of a sudden they greenlit season 7, like not that long after greenlighting 6. I feel like they were waiting for the Netflix fear. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, all of these Netflix shows, like, guys, I have to break it to you. When Punisher airs in January, it gets canceled in February.
Yeah, yeah.
That's happening.
Yeah, it's going to.
And like,
there's no petition or something that's going to save it. It's gone.
Like, because it hasn't aired yet, so it would be weird to say we cancel the show before it even airs. You know, so that there's at least some veil of, like, you know,
happiness.
Yeah.
It's a weird way to promote. But so did you like the younger audience shows? the Cloak and Dagger, and the Runaways.
Runaways, yeah. I put that in future because it airs on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It airs in 3 days. The new season.
Great, we'll put it in the future.
It's in the future. But Cloak and Dagger, I was really impressed by
it. Still haven't made it through it. I was in it. I was in it, but a little too CWE.
Got it.
A little bit too, like, it didn't pull me along like Runaways did. Mm-hmm. And it's there. Again, just the DVR tells the tale. The DVR doesn't lie. Like, it's there.
Tell the tape.
I'm seeing it. I got to be honest, you know, at least how it's moving me right now. But I will catch up. I will get the rest of the Cloak and Dagger, and especially, you know, now that the Marvel television is sort of dwindling.
The last two episodes are like a movie, so I think you'll definitely the last two, you'll watch it one. And the budget, you can see skyrocketing.
I didn't like what I saw, though. I love the way they're doing the whole thing. The story is great.
The Cloak.
How many did you see, though?
I think maybe like four.
Oh. You're almost done.
What I was most impressed by with Cloak and Dagger was the way they made visuals that don't even work in the medium of comics work. Like, the Cloak and Dagger character costumes and everything are so silly, even on paper. Like,
right.
They're those characters you're like, no. And then in the show,
they like
made
a sexy onesie and just
with a cutout and like a glowy hand
with
like,
stripes.
I love the dagger.
And the dagger, when it pops out of her, like, you are like invested. And then his cloak is so cinematically, like, the way it billows, and they do rooftop shots like a comic book. That's what impressed me about Cloak and Dagger, was it's a young adult show with bold chances and choices. And I think as I get older, I actually enjoy young adult content more because I can see my kids liking it.
Okay.
Like, I walked out of Spider-Verse and I was like, yo, I'm gonna have a baby. Because I was like ready to show my child this movie. And I think that's like that new, like, I hit 30 and I was suddenly like, yo, I'm gonna have some kids to show them Spider-Man. And like, it was a really interesting thing because I was watching Cloak and Dagger and I was like, I want my children to have these morals and this moral compass.
Okay.
And I like the fact that this show can give them that while being something I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So it's like when you're listening to a Rolling Stones album and you're like, kids will appreciate what the music changes, but a show.
Yeah.
So that's what I got in
that
one. Marvel movies.
Yes!
So we did Marvel TV. Marvel movies this year were Black Panther, Infinity War, Deadpool 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Venom.
Bombs. All of them.
Just tanked. Bombs. The
terrible.
Terrible. Didn't do so well.
So,
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. The bloom is off the rose, Marvel. I think America's love affair with all things Marvel has dissipated.
I think so.
You're no longer the Coca-Cola in the big soda.
Hope you had a fun run. So this year, we're kicking it off with Black Panther. Let's go. Let's do movies one at a time. Black Panther, thoughts and appreciation or dismay?
I absolutely loved it. The only thing that holds it back for me is that the rubber CGI fight stuff at the
third
end.
Act,
I'm like it's so good up till then. So, and seeing it in the theater, I was so invested, I didn't care. But now when I rewatch it, I'm just kind of like, yeah, this stuff really kind of bothers me because everything else is so damn good. And then you see something like Infinity War with the CGI, and you're like, well, don't you have the same houses doing it? Or are you farming it out because they're so close?
I think it was a budget issue.
Yeah, I'm like, you gotta...
You got Ryan Coogler, who's an indie director,
and then you go over it.
And it's like, here's all the money to build Wakanda. Oh, we gotta do that scene at the end.
Yeah,
I think
that was the only thing. But I really love the movie.
I mean, it's hard to hate on Black Panther. Yeah. I mean, especially, again, a character that I really only knew from the Avengers in the comics. Didn't collect a lot of Black Panther comics. And also when you talked about how you enjoy when people like a thing, I love the fact that people... of a different background that felt underrepresented were able to rally behind that. That was a big part of being able to enjoy the film, is how much people got into it. And because it's Marvel, then I also have ownership of it too. It's like, yeah, it's nice in our house, isn't it? You know?
Comics!
So I'm still get to be a part of it.
Yeah, totally.
But to mirror what Mike said, I do have a couple of things like, because the fights are so good, when you actually see the actors fighting, it does kind of hurt it when they're in costumes and it's supposed to be better. And it doesn't one up like those battles at the waterfall. Both of them were just insanely good.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Michael B. Jordan's character coming in kind of like taking over like the next day. It was a little like strained credulity, just a little bit. You're like, come on, it's that easy for him to walk in. Anybody can just be like, challenge.
I ate an artichoke. I'm your king now.
Yeah, you know, but he's so great in that movie, too. I'm sorry, you wanted to say
something. What you said about the point of different audiences brought. I'll never forget. We're sitting there, packed audience, opening night, and credits roll. Half the audience gets up and walks out. And I look over, I go, don't they know? And he goes, Mike, all those people, this might have been their first time seeing a Marvel film, a superhero film, because they're finally represented. And it was like, holy, it opened my mind, because we all know nerds, we just sit there. Oh, we knew.
We're trained.
This brought so many people that were finally represented to the theaters, and because it was packed, cheering, applause, but they just got up and left, and everyone, like, no one's telling them, sit down, wait, well, come back.
Yeah.
But it was, they had not been indoctrinated into the world of comic book movies.
Amazing.
Because and now they will. Now they're like, I missed, what did I miss?
And then Infinity War, they come back, yeah. And that skyrockets them. Yeah.
So I thought that was such a cool experience to see happen, and I didn't come to the realization. A friend had to tell me that. So I was like, holy hell.
That's a magic moment. That's really impressive. Yeah, it was great. Uh-huh. Black Panther thoughts?
It was absolutely insane. It was definitely one of my favorite movies I think I've ever seen. I think I was maybe slightly blinded, and I still am, because I find nothing wrong with that film at all.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So good. And then the freaking soundtrack. I still work out to that soundtrack, and I love it. I think that it's fun. I love Michael B. Jordan. I think everyone did such a phenomenal job. And again, you know, seeing newer audiences, and then even people buying out theaters so that more people could see it.
I think that was really cool.
It was a whole revolution. Yeah. And I love that we were able to experience that this year. And that just like kicked off the year.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems
crazy.
Like
that was supposed to be. And it really defined a lot of the year. Like it kept heat. Black Panther has kept heat throughout this entire year. And now what you said, down to award season, and it's starting to get talked about.
And no one survives a year in
and
awards
it's
season.
Nominations,
those are
8
year old men going, what was this? That was this year?
Yeah.
Like that's why they release movies right before they vote, because they forgot. And Black Panther survived a year. Like we're still talking about Black Panther longer than some of the shows that ended a month ago, because it left that much of an impact on the world. For me, Black Panther was really impressive because it took a character that is very difficult to write sometimes and very hard for other writers to get on, and it translated it to like a greatest hits. I actually enjoyed the Black Panther narrative in the movie more than some of the runs in the comic. I love Chris Priest. I love Reggie Hudlin. I love those runs. But those are like 3 writers over the course of how many years? So it's really hard to write this character because of how dense he is. It's a compliment to the character, not an insult to the writers. He is a globe-trotting politician, spy, superhero.
Right.
Like, that's a hard thing to land.
Yeah.
The movie somehow mixed all those elements, added a dash of cinema, put in supporting characters that were incredible, gave us the strongest women in the MCU, and then, like, magic?
Yeah.
And that's why we're still talking about it from February to now. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was not just important to comic movies, not just important to movies, not just important to society, but it's going to be something we look at long term. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something we look at and go, 2018 is the year of Black Panther. And whether the movie worked for you or not, that is something we can always point at. Like he was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
Like T'Challa.
Right, that's insane
to me. So I think that Black Panther is not just good, it's important. So I'm glad it was as good as it was, because imagine if the movie was important and then it was like, but the third act even fell more apart. Like that would have been a travesty.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was an A for me.
It definitely. I mean, it's great. They kicked off the year great. It was beautiful, different, and I mean, the fact that like they're successful with the comics, with the properties that aren't the most popular.
Yeah,
it just shows like how many arrows they have in their quiver.
Yeah, that's a great
yes.
Speaking of arrows in a quiver, all of them were shot at once with Infinity War. Infinity War came out this year. I'll kick this one off. Infinity War was the culmination of 22 movies, which had never been done before, and it was the most ambitious cast, and it was arguably the most ambitious story to tell. And as a diehard comic fan, I was surprised throughout. We talked about being surprised in a movie when you know the source material.
Right.
What impressed me most about this movie was it made things that didn't work for me in the comics work for me on movies. Like, I hate the Iron Spider suit. I loved it in the movie. I don't like the broad strokes villain, but I understood Josh Brolin as Thanos more than I willing to admit.
Yeah.
I'm on the 405 sometimes. I'm like, yo. Like,
once or twice a day, I think about that, was he wrong?
If it's fair,
was he wrong?
So you see, guys, you see, Koi's super positive until one day he's a finger snap
until
waiting
he
to
snaps.
Happen.
But it's fair.
But it's fair
because
all things equal. So I was really impressed with the special effects. I didn't have the Black Panther issues because, I mean, they were working this movie forever in the budget.
Yeah, that was the thing. That's like,
I love the fact that they made a purple guy that could have looked ridiculous so menacing. One of the best villains we've had. And the fact that they gave me a movie that juggled all my favorite characters that I didn't feel like anyone was missing. I didn't go like, I need more of.
Right.
And that's a testament to proper storytelling on top of all of the teams that worked on this. And when it ended, all of us, it was the first movie where I was at a press screening, people started talking in the audience and I was like, respect this.
Yeah.
Like, I need to weep here.
Right.
And, like, these
credits
are people that changed us.
Yeah.
So I just felt this somberness, and that's a powerful moment.
Yeah.
And we have the second one coming out in 4 months. and we know nothing about it. A movie ends and we don't know anything about the next one. We went into that not knowing much about it. So Infinity War was to me near perfect storytelling. It was one of the few movies that crossed over from my favorite comic movies to my favorite movies of the year. It made my top 10 of the year generally. And that's insane. Actually, I think Iron Man 1 08 was the only other one to clear my top 10.
Oh, wow.
Like that testament to, for me. Infinity War for you?
Yeah, gosh, I'm still trying to recover.
Oh, and Winter Soldier, sorry, Winter Soldier also made that cut.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the fact that so many people saw it in advance and they didn't talk about it
at all. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a huge thing. It was just all over social media and obviously in the nerddom world. Mm. I think that it was revolutionary. I said that about Black Panther, but it was the same freaking thing. And just to have all these people come together and create something so freaking beautiful that really touched you. And I mean, I think we all had the same kind of look on our faces after we left watching it for hours, just kind of like trying to dissect everything. Right. And then, like you said, even going into this next one, we don't know much. We really don't. But we're already like, I mean, here, take my money. Yeah. It's fine. And I think also just really seeing how much people can get so invested in comics and see that come to life and really appreciate that these people making it, the Russo brothers and everyone else, like they understand how important it is. And that I think it just gives me chills to even think about how wonderful it was. It was perfection also. I loved it so much. It was so good. It was so good.
All for you guys.
Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, it was one of the best times that I can remember having in a movie theater. Yep. Like, it was a visceral ride. Yeah. I totally understand people complaining of it, you know, about it not being a single story. It's not meant for them, and I don't care. if you're saying because you need all this other information that lessens it as a film, I don't know what barometer that is, because to me, that only, it's the soap opera. I get it. It's a big TV show. I get it. But I love it. You guys have said Thanos is the best realized digital character thus far. I'm sure James Cameron will prove us wrong whether we want it or not with those Avatar sequels. But he will. Don't count him out. But yeah, and there was even some wonky CG in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Don't care. But the Thanos thing, you needed to put all the money into, and you did. And the way it keeps moving, and Doctor Freaking Strange, and, you know, I mean, the whole caper thing, the Hulk, my favorite Marvel character, out early! Yeah. But it only builds the thing. Like, you have to. Right. Hulk has to go down early, so you're like, that's how serious this is. He don't even have them all yet. They hit Hulk, and he went down.
Yeah. I mean, and then they gave us false toys, making us think he was
going
back. And then
these things like Red Skulls popping. It just kept coming. Yeah. It just didn't stop. I mean, it could have been longer. I think the next one's going to be even better. Can't say enough about it. Mikey.
I echo every statement. Then I don't want to bring anyone down. Not a problem. The fact that everyone's like, it's a standalone film. It's not a standalone film. And I got in a big argument with Robert Meyer Burnett about it, like calling it a cliffhanger. I was like, that's a cliffhanger. But he's like, no, it's a separate film. Because if we never get any more Marvel films after this, it's like...
It would be the worst. Yeah.
The worst. I have a heart. And I know they've got to build their slate. But the fact that I know there's a Spider-Man 2, a Black Panther 2, a Doctor Strange... Like, I'm like, well, they're not dead. So I'm less like... I don't know. But that's regardless. The only problem I have, and the Russo brothers addressed it, was the fact that, like, I really wanted the smaller moments to have a little more time. And they've even said, like, I wanted a Cap and Bucky to have that moment, and then they basically says like, "Well, we assume Steve's coming back in this year time to see him and visit." I'm like, I don't buy that
farmhouse scene. I needed the farmhouse scene too.
For me, Civil War best scene of that entire movie is Tony and Steve sitting in the headquarters where they are, and you got the pens, and they're trying to sign the accords.
Yeah,
that's the best scene in the movie. I don't care about the airport scene. I don't care about anything else. It's that scene because they have done such a good job giving us these characters. Like I wanted Nat and Banner to see each other and have a moment instead of just a look, or Rhodey to like, you took my legs, dude, but it's all forgiven. Yeah. But they've addressed it. They said we couldn't slow down. And I get it. Yeah. I get it.
What's funny to me is Age of Ultron is one of my least favorite Marvel films, but it has two of my favorite Marvel moments, and those are those moments. The farmhouse scene and the scene in the party where they're trying to lift Mjolnir are two of the most iconic moments to me in the movie that I think about.
No costumes,
least.
No nothing.
And that's that's the testament to the MCU is they've built these characters that they don't need the costumes to be the characters.
That was the one that they showed at the El Capitan Theater, too. Yeah. Remember that? When Chadwick Boseman was brought out on stage for the first time.
Yeah. So,
when Black Panther posters were given years before
saying
Black
this
Panther.
Now Russo brothers, you owe us a Steve and Tony scene. They don't have some kind of reunion.
They have to. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, and I want an Avengers Assemble.
We have to at this point.
I want an Avengers Assemble, him yelling that.
Yeah.
Those two things have to happen for me.
So I've got two theories while we're on Avengers. Okay. One, that we did lose Spider-Man and T'Challa and all them, and we're in a new dimension in Endgame. I think that they go through the Microverse and they do an ultimate storyline, and we get a new... I think they're dead.
What? Stop it.
Oh, interesting.
I think that the Ant-Man scene at the end of that is a mislead, and we intentionally do that, because at the end of the trailer, he asks, is this right now? And before she says, it's the front door, there's a cut, and no one's talking about that cut.
Yeah.
I also think that Ant-Man is the key piece of Endgame. We go through a dimension, we go through the Microverse, we go into a new reality, and we meet a new T'Challa, a new Spider-Man, and those characters are actually dead.
You just created me as a meme. I'm that girl with like the math going on. I'm like,
I think everyone that got dusted stays dusted.
Oh my god!
I think everyone we meet in all of these sequels. So that's
like
why we
Star
have
Lord. Everyone,
and that's why they announced Shang-Chi, and that's why they announced the more global films. Is Marvel goes more global in Phase 4 in the new dimension? We leave New York, we branch out, and that's
like
why
they killed the 616, or I guess it's not the 616.
Whatever you refer to it as, it's like the in Secret Wars, which is a great way to test the audience. Jonathan Hickman's run when the worlds collide. Yeah. And they kill so many people. I think they might do that cinematically. And they kill the 616, and we get a new brand of characters. That's why maybe there's so many Spider-Man suits in the new movie. I know S.H.I.E.L.D. gives them a couple.
But then you think Cap and Iron Man are both making it through?
I think that what might happen is they sacrifice themselves so the other universe can live on.
Well, I think Cap's dying.
Cap's dying. Oh, Iron Man's dying. A lot of the core Avengers are dying. And that gets rid of the contracts, but it also gives us that entire new slate of characters without sacrificing the integrity of the Marvel Universe.
My mind is just blown.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy that because I don't know if that's too far to go for an audience.
I would have thought that pre-Thanos, not post-Thanos.
Yeah, you're right.
Anything's possible now.
That's really interesting. I'm going to have to meditate on that, but that is some
it's a bold,
stuff.
It's a very comic-y.
I love it.
But if anyone can do it, it's the Russo.
After you said the Spider-Verse, you know.
What a great way to beta test it. Spider-Verse. What a great way to beta test the audience's reliability with comic materials than Infinity War. And comics usually set up these storylines way before, and they just did Secret Wars 5 years ago when they would have been writing this whole thing.
But you know what? I got to say, Captain Marvel's definitely the key. We saw the thing go off, so that, you know, Captain Marvel in this reality.
We don't know what her she's but in the 90s in Captain Marvel. We don't know how she lands.
Because that means you can have the Fantastic Four
and the
not X-Men. Have to go through
and
their
every
origins.
Single person is in that universe they land in.
Cool, did you put something in this
my head? This is what happens when we do these kinds of shows.
You actually land in a universe where all these characters exist.
Galactus
come back to Popcorn Talk to just drop some knowledge, guys. So that's my big theory. I don't know if it's real, but here we are. So we'll see. So, also this year, we got the what other movies?
Were there any DC movies back then? Yeah. So, oh, we had Teen Titans Go. That's right. Big year.
Deadpool 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Venom were not the big tentpoles comparatively. Deadpool 2 did very well, but I personally like Deadpool 1 more. Deadpool 2 was a lot of fun. It built the X-Force. It played with the narrative. It was all the things that Deadpool can be. I just think the heart of Deadpool 1 is such a impossible thing to capture. So I really enjoy Deadpool 2. I'm not speaking ill of it. It's just like not everything can be an A+. So for me, I enjoyed it. I really liked the bait and switch. I liked the comedy a lot. I thought Cable was great. I needed more of it. And one of the weirdest things is the Once Upon a Deadpool cut, which is to me a very much more tame cut, answers a lot of my problems in a very specific way. All of the issues I have with Deadpool get answered in Deadpool Once Upon a Deadpool, but it's not doing well enough for me to talk about it. So it's a tricky, like, look, you listened, but also, so that's my take on that. Ant-Man and the Wasp, I thought the post-credit scene was inspired. I thought the movie used the CGI in a very creative way. The shrinking and growing was way more cinematic than I thought. I really enjoyed it, and Ant-Man and the Wasp had more comedy than I thought they could land post-Infinity War. I didn't feel it was like tonally wrong. I just was surprised they landed it, and I'm one of the loudest Venom proponents on the internet. I really, I thought Venom was special. As soon as he was in the lobster tank, the movie took the right turn for me. And like, it was a buddy cop horror body film featuring Tom Hardy, so I didn't mind a moment, so it really worked for me. So those are my three. What do you think of the last three movies of the year?
Yeah, okay, so Deadpool 2, agree with you. I did like the first one more. I think it was still fun. The last 5 minutes kind of like threw me off, but I was like, all right, oh, okay, I'll go with it. I do really like that we got two Josh Brolins in things. Yeah. So that was pretty fun. Yeah. I thought that was fun. Ant-Man and the Wasp was so freaking beautiful. Like, I loved everything that we got. And yeah, I love the shrinking, the getting bigger. Like, all of that was so much fun. And yeah, surprisingly funny at points. But Venom, I would say, was the one that shocked me. I was scared, but I was still hopeful. But when I found myself laughing, I was like, all right. This is going to be a good time. Let's just do this. And, yeah, especially M&M's. I mean, hello. Yes. I work out to that song. So
all right.
It's great. I mean, we got wonderful music, wonderful times, just a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's see. Ant-Man and the Wasp, not one of my top Marvel films, but a good time, but I haven't seen it a second time, which is rare that I'm not, like, brought really quickly back. And I did, like... the stuff at the end and the connectivity, but it's kind of like when you watch those Doctor Who episodes, you're just waiting for that little bit of canonical stuff to tie together. Yeah, yeah. You don't really care as much about the episode. You're just like, just give me the goods. Give me the talk about Infinity War stuff, you know, and like time vortexes and whatever. But yeah, he's great as a character. It was definitely a good time at the movies. What was the other one besides Venom?
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Venom, and Deadpool 2.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Deadpool 2 I thought was a good time. I pretty much echo what you guys said. I really do love the post-credit scene in that movie. Oh, it's really brilliant. Creative stuff. I love X-Force appearing. I love the fake-outs. Venom, I'm not as kind to. Listen, and it's only because I probably was prejudging the film before I went in, but I loved the character Venom in the comics when I read it out of the alien costume because there was something really terrifying about Venom knowing everything about Spider-Man, being just as strong as Spider-Man, but like a little bit more. And I love that Venom. I know Venom has become so many more things to so many more people and so many iterations since then. And I do got to give props to Sony for two huge monster Spider-Verse hits after people are like saying that they're never going to do it, myself included. And saying that they suck at making Spider-Man movies, and they are two for two. Like, you and can't take anything away from Venom because DC managed to stay in the game making money while they were still making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad and what have you. But still, hundreds of millions coming in, enough that the DC cinematic universe is going to live on and is going to change. So it wasn't a home run for them.
Sure.
And I don't think Venom was... I mean, financially, it was a home run.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot less on it.
Absolutely.
They spent... like about the same as Spider-Verse or maybe even less than Spider-Verse into the Spider-Verse. So yeah, I'm happy for them. It's not exactly the best iteration of the character that I've seen, but glad it did well. I mean, yeah, it's fun. It's Marvel, you know?
Deadpool 2. Deadpool 1 was probably one of my favorite cinematic experiences of all time. The audience, it was like a party. So I wanted that for this one and it didn't really land for me like that. But I don't know. I think people don't put enough credence in how good a director and what a good director adds to your film.
Tim Miller.
Like, he helped create what that was.
And when he had 11 years of piecing
it. And David Leitch and them, they're phenomenal. I love them, you know, with the John Wick and everything and their background. But it just, Tim Miller, you sensed his element not there.
Right.
You know. And
fair.
Yeah, so fair. I enjoyed it. What was the second?
Ant-Man and Wasp.
I forgot about it about an hour after I saw it. And I will say this. I'm an underdog lover. I love the underdog. Out of the three Marvel films, the MCU films, Ant-Man and the Wasp was the most I was looking forward to at the start of the year.
Okay.
Just because it was the underdog. No one was talking about it. I was like, I love the character. But I just felt like the Sonny Birch character was like, okay. And to me, everyone was a comedian. Like, everyone had jokes except Scott. And Scott was like, they made him out to be dumb. Like, you know, you've got Hope, who's a genius, and he's street smarts, and they didn't even have that with the time. So everyone was making jokes and at his expense, and he looked like an idiot, I thought. So I'm just like, no, he's capable.
But,
Venom? I'll say this. I sat into it with two different guys, three of us, and we could have not had three more different viewpoints on Marvel film. We have one guy that is the Marvel cheerleader. He loves everything Marvel and Disney does. Guy in the middle is very kind of both sides, and I'm the guy that's usually the curmudgeon about certain things. And through this movie, we're looking at each other going, what are we watching? Like, I wasn't in on the joke. I don't know. And I'll never tell someone to not like something. I love BVS. So I'll never tell you to not like a film. Mm-hmm. Never tell you guys that you're wrong in liking a film. But I'll tell you this. If anyone comes to me at any DC film and tells me that you love Venom but you hate something, I'm not taking that opinion for a grain of salt at all.
I respect
it. But, you know, but I'm an old school. I mean, like you, like, for me, Venom doesn't exist without Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason his eyes look white like that and shape up is because it's mocking the suit. It's I don't, and they did do
it. It was the suit.
Yeah.
It was the suit.
So I get that they didn't have Spider-Man, so they wanted to do it, and everyone in the cast was like, well, now in the comics, it's this and this. I get it. I know. Flash Thompson.
We're curmudgeon-y about old-school Venom.
Yeah, old school Venom. I respect it, and that means you care. That's great.
Like, say what you will about Spider-Man 3, but the way that suit, like, wrapped into his mouth and is pulling his mouth out. You felt like, oh, this is painful. This was just like a blob that threw over him. And I knew they couldn't go that way because they did it.
The fact that Venom is a scorned lover of Peter Parker. Yeah.
The relationship between Venom and Spider-Man is one of my favorite relationships. Yeah. It's a domestic assault at all times. Like, he's getting mishandled and he loves it. And it's tricky.
Yes.
And I love the scorned lover aspect of the symbiote and the hatred of Eddie and to Spider-Man as a journalism.
Yeah.
There's so much to it. For me, I knew going into it I couldn't have that. So I came into it more apologizing up front.
Yep.
So I went into it like, if this is even funny, I'm in. And then as soon as the lobster tank, I was like, oh, they made Hunter S. Thompson write a comic movie. I was like, it was
invested. You also knew that Venom was literally the manure of Sony's Spider-Verse.
It was just going to make
a fertile field for much more to grow there.
And since it was decent, I liked more than I expected. And also mentioning Deadpool 2 before we move on, Deadpool 2 landed more group team jokes than I expected, so I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I leaned to the negative in the opening of this, but I do think Tim Miller's beating heart was missing, so it felt like a sequel, and that's always hard, but it's still a great film, and it's impressive that it spawned three films. The Super Duper cut is a different movie, the Once Upon a Time cut is a different movie, and that is a testament to the Leitch
and directing. Their whole... I wanted to be bigger, but the Peter character.
Yeah.
From that first trailer, I fell in love with that guy. Yeah. And I wanted more of him. And so the fact that,
it has merits for sure.
Yeah.
Now, the present day, we'll have to speed up a little bit because we've only got about 20 minutes left.
Let's do it.
Present day, there's nothing on Marvel TV. We're feeling like Teen Titans Go over here.
Wow.
Marvel movies, we had Spider-Verse. So let's talk about Spider-Verse real quick before we get into DC TV's mammoth slate.
Oh, did you see Spider-Verse?
I did. I'm going to say this real quick. I knew it going in that I was going to be a victim of the hype. That's what we live in this world of all of our friends see films. Like, people have seen Aquaman 3 weeks ago. They've seen Spider-Verse 3 weeks ago. So it's been constantly in my Twitter feed, greatest movie of the year, greatest comic book movie. So I went in, and I didn't sit in the moment and enjoy every scene. I'm like, when's the next big thing? Okay, is there going to be a big character reveal? The movie ends, and I'm just like, oh, that was cool. And my friends were like, you didn't love it. So DC, you love it. You hate DC. You know, DC, you love it. And so I went home. But for 24 hours, I could not stop thinking about it. Mm. I text everyone. I said, guys, I have to see it again. Let's go with let's see it again. Because I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, of how great it was. Mm. But it was just that initial, the hype was so huge, it could not live up to what in my mind it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I it took me a second. Do you guys feel this way? Like, I'm watching it for about 5 minutes. I'm like, are my eyes going? Is this blurry? Like,
it took me a while to lock in, because there's like the dots of like the.
And then I was like,
they used a focus technique to make it seem 3D. And your brain had to go, like, this isn't my life.
And this is what I love about comics. It's like Miles Morales is not my Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Guy Gardner is not my Green Lantern. It's like there's other generations that are growing up on these characters that love them now. Like, Peter Parker is my guy. So the Peter Parker stuff, my God. It was phenomenal. Him and MJ and him and Aunt May. And the fact it was Chris Pine and they didn't tell anyone.
Love that.
So I'm like, this guy sounds like Chris Pine. But now I'm like, why wasn't Chris Pine Peter Parker the whole way through? Because he was so good.
Mm.
but I think it's phenomenal what it tried to do. And I really want to go back and see it again. I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be good. And it was better than I thought it was going to be. I mean,
I wanted to have that.
I went on Thursday night. I went as early as I could by myself. And I was, from the minute the Comics Code Authority came on the screen, it was, again, much like Infinity War, there were times where it felt physical, like I was swinging. And maybe coming off of just having played the PS4 game for so long, almost felt like a direct sequel to that, because there was that one suit in there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, it felt like I was in the same world, and I felt particularly geared up to watch this unfold. And I thought some of it was fantastic, and I definitely welled up with tears at some of that family stuff. I'm a sucker, I'm a sap, whatever.
Yep.
But such beautiful stuff, the uncle stuff, that relationship. The fact that they managed to tell a Miles Morales story but still get in with Peter Parker or two.
So impressive.
And then other
full
stuff.
Stories with all the characters.
Yeah, like...
That you feel like, who the hell
Spider-Ham
is this? Spider-Ham
wasn't just a joke. Yeah. Actually had some serious
Spider-Man
lines in there.
Spider-Man Noir, every time I wanted to live in that universe.
Spider-Man
that,
Noir.
Oh, so
I'm going to see it again in the theaters, for sure.
I need to see... What do they say? You got to see it in 3D, IMAX or 4K? Someone saying that you got to see it in, like...
Did you see it in 3D or
IMAX? I've seen it in IMAX Dolby regular. I haven't seen it in 3D yet.
Okay.
Because I have a problem.
I might see 3D. I usually don't like 3D, but I thought this would be good in 3D. Yeah. So I thought it would work with IMAX.
I haven't seen it in 3D yet because I usually don't. I'm not big on animation or 3D. So I had a really interesting time because it made me retroactively wonder if I've been closed-minded. Because I really enjoyed the experience, and now I want to see it in 3D to see if I've just been judging.
Okay.
And Hector Navarro is very loud about 3D, so I have to at least give it a chance.
Yeah, I thought this was the most comic-y movie I've ever seen in my entire life in the most beautiful way. Like, it really, I already loved Peter Parker, I already loved Spider-Man, but it just was like a giant, like, slap in the face of, like, I get it. Like, I finally understand. If this is the first movie that people ever see that opens their eyes to comics, then I think it's a great movie because you touch on everything that people love about Spider-Man and Peter Parker. I left there feeling like, yeah, I could be Spider-Man. You know, yeah. I just, like, that feeling of you can do anything, you can be anything you want. And, like, stuff is going to suck sometimes. That's just life.
Yeah.
But you got to, like, also embrace the love and just get right back up. That just hit so close to home. And well, I was said. Like,
does he have those powers in the comics, too? In Ultimate, does he have those different powers?
And the Venom. Yeah. Yeah. Those
okay.
Those, yeah. That, and that was, like, earlier in his introduction.
See, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's stuff like that I didn't even know. I was like, oh, this is.
So yeah, what I liked. Too.
Sorry, Penny. Oh, yeah. Penny is a comic book person. Like, she's actually in the comics.
Yeah, all of them are from the comic books. That's like, crazy. Authentically. I think Gerard Way invented Penny Parker in one of the side-off things before he went on to Umbrella Academy. So, My Chemical Romance fans.
Yeah.
Gerard Way's brilliant. Yeah. So, one of the things I liked about it was not only did it land Miles Morales and all the other arcs, like you said, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just a Spider-Man movie. It was a Miles Morales origin that didn't feel like it wasted, because he's such an important character to so many people. Right. It didn't feel
because
like
because you had
just
other Spider-Man being Spider-Man the whole time, so you didn't have to sit there for an hour explaining everything. See Spider-Man action. I was like, that's so smart!
And then having the origin story be retold as a joke, like last time. And that in itself is a joke because we're so sick of Spider-Man's origin. It was like a meta joke. But another
don't
thing.
Don't you say it? Yeah. Oh, don't you say it. But honestly, that had weight. That was a joke of itself, but it had the weight.
And it was a Sony joke at their own expense.
Yes.
I also think what impressed me was, like I said, I'm not much of an animation guy. I'm trying to get into it. This gave me an animated movie that made me feel like a cinema experience was possible with animation. And it gave me the most comic-y movie that also felt the most approachable. This is a movie that anyone can see and get stuff out of, but it also had, like, Kingpin is a Sienkiewicz reference. The Green Goblin is a Sarah Pacelli reference from Ultimate Spider-Man's reboot. The Tombstone is a 1970s take on Eric Larson's visual of Steve Scrooge and Eric Larson. There was a comic suit that's
Tombstone. It was so cool to see that Tombstone. It's again, having to play the video game, Tombstone doesn't look anything like that.
Right, totally
it was good, but I loved seeing. And he didn't even like talk at all.
And there's a Rose moment, like the Rose, an obscure gangster Spider-Man villain, is on the wall when they're in Spider-Man's lair. A character that like five people know about now. Like, so it's not only the most detailed to comic fans, anyone can watch it.
The Rose, they also
the Rose is in there. Yeah,
it's isn't it Fisk's son is the Rose.
Batman-thony, what is it?
Oh no, I was just wanted to comment too that I believe they like recreated the first issue of Spider-Man with like the iconic of him like web swinging and carrying the guy by the back of his shirt.
Yeah.
But it was Miles Morales was being carried away by the back of his shirt in the beginning. Yeah. Oh. And also, I just want to mention that Childish Gambino bit when Miles is in his apartment and he's like he flies out the window and he's literally in a tie, shirtless. He's shirtless in a tie in gray pants. And his hair is like all puffed up and everything.
I gotta investigate. I gotta see that moment again. Yeah,
and he does like a little like he's like flailing around, so it looks like he's kind of like dancing. it's interesting.
So, it's a little not. And Donald Glover kind of played a character in that verse. The uncle.
He plays the uncle, exactly.
And Donald Glover's the reason a big part of Miles Morales being what he is they in the Twitterverse when Donald Glover first started Donald for Spider-Man, and that helped inspire what Miles became, and then in Spider-Man Homecoming he played his own uncle effectively by being the character that references the nephew, and then he turns into the Prowler, and then the Prowler's a big part of this movie by way of Aaron Davis. Like, it's the Spider-Man universe is amazing. But we're not gonna give any spoilers. There's a ton of Easter eggs that are deep cut and amazing, but it just came out, so we're not gonna be those people. Check out Spider-Verse. Also, in the present, the Ghost of Christmas Present, you guys, I counted this as present movies, but it's not fully out yet. I'm going to talk about Aquaman.
Oh, okay.
Because we are bad DC
very
hosts.
Very quickly. DC, and then DC TV, there's so much.
We have not seen it. But I will say this. I know you guys are reaching out to us. My best friend, he loves Aquaman. It is his character. It is like the Batman to me. And I've had several opportunities to see the movie. I turned them down because I want to sit next to my best friend during the movie and see his reaction. Because he's waited 35 years for an Aquaman movie, and he's the butt of every joke, and apparently it's doing amazing. It's going to be awesome, so I want to be next to him, so I apologize. I haven't been able to talk about it,
guys. And I will say, in the spirit of the holidays, what I did with my tickets, because I had them for the Amazon Prime, I gave them to somebody I work with who was already taking his son, Steven, who is awesome, to see Into the Spider-Verse, and he didn't tell him that he was going to see Aquaman after. Oh. And he had me shoot a little video telling him I needed him to save Atlantis. Kid is 12. Oh, he's super cool. So he got out of that movie and then went right into Aquaman. Oh. And so I'm okay with waiting till next
Thursday.
You're
a good man.
You know.
Excellent.
That being said, Roxy is not here. She's seen it, so you're gonna have to bear the burden, my friend.
Yeah.
Amy, have you seen it?
I have not. No.
Aquaman.
There you go.
The movie is the boldest thing DC has done yet. Yes, I'm including Suicide Squad, but in a direction that is so great for world building. Aquaman paints a beautiful, brightly colored picture of what DC Universe is going towards, especially with Shazam coming, all of these things, and it doesn't sacrifice the integrity of DC films. It still feels like Jason Momoa's Aquaman from Justice League, but in a direction that I think is so approachable, so bright, so lively. The comedy lands most of the time so well. I was laughing a lot in this film. The action lands even more consistently. There's some over-the-head shots that James Wan directed the hell out of. There's a four-minute long take that shot aerially with Nicole Kidman that's actually Nicole Kidman that is just one of the most staggering fight scenes I've seen. There is Black Manta. Is that the most exciting?
You were in Hall H, weren't you, this past year?
Yeah.
When they showed the extended trailer, that scene, and they're in Italy or somewhere, and they're just the camera's fan. They're just going through walls. And
there's like eight of those. Oh my God. There's like eight of those action set pieces, and that's what I was getting to. Is it feels like, and this is a compliment. I'm a Fast and the Furious diehard. It feels like Fast and the Furious in that it's a global threat, so they go across the globe. The movie doesn't just feel like New York. The movie doesn't just feel like you're in one spot. You pop up in places like that Italian villa, and you're like, oh, this is affecting the planet. And I love that because it's the seven seas. It should.
Yes.
So the movie is big in scope, big in jokes, big in action, big in acting, and the fact that some of these characters landed, like DC does very silly names like Marvel does.
Yeah.
There are moments when they're like, I am Ocean Master.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's an Oscar. Like, how did that guy land that line? How did Patrick Wilson say that?
And I was
Ocean Master, bro. Yeah. And Jason Momoa got, like, you know, untethered. He got to play, and it was beautiful to see. Willem Dafoe nails that character. Okay. And
doesn't he nail? What does he ever not nail?
The biggest takeaway for me is Black Manta. Jesus. Black Manta in that helmet in action.
And they did the helmet.
Exact helmet.
Ridiculous.
The third act.
Like this kind of proportion.
Yeah, that's Black Manta. But by the time you get to the third act, you're so immersed in the world that if you just walked into the third act, it would be the weirdest thing to experience. It's like Venom weird, but in a positive. You're like, how are they on giant seahorses and crabs? And you're like so invested.
Yeah.
It feels like a comic book come to life in much the way Spider-Verse does by the third act, but it builds up to it. So by the time you're there, you feel like you're in the world.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by
it. Like Spider-Verse, the culmination happens, you're like, all right, we're not anywhere right now. We're literally not anywhere, but we're okay with it because we said thing.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's great, man. That's a very good positive review, and that makes you've made me more excited to see Aquaman.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a show to plug our own show. We're going to shoot it early, I think 11 a.m. or
on
something.
Friday.
We're going to be in here Friday. So if you want to hear our take with Roxy, Johnny will be out of the country, but we will give you our take of Aquaman.
I'd love to hear what you guys think.
Because we are a show called DC Movie News that has only had Teen Titans Go, and I didn't even see that
one. It didn't even feel like
I'm
this
a great
year.
Host,
like,
doing my job well.
It's fantastic. They're going to love it. You're going to love it. Now, you guys did have something this year in the form of all the television. So you had Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, and Titans. You have two networks. And in that, I would consider Elseworlds your cinematic film, because Elseworlds was a movie. So I will let you guys jump on.
Okay, I'll say, listen, I'm really hit or miss with CW-verse. It's just gotten to the point where those shows are just, you know, they're for a younger demo, I think, you know, by and large. And there's a lot of the soap opera stuff that I just doesn't keep my attention anymore. I'm sorry. I wish it did. There's just so much good television out there that is non-comic book television, too. And I have only so many hours and want to be a productive person somewhat, too, and make things, not just watch things. That being said, I've kept up with Flash. It's fun. It's feeling a little repetitive. I still think Legends is the best on the CW. Not that it doesn't not have those those problems, but it's so aware of itself.
Yeah,
that it is,
it's self-aware and just does whatever it does. And yeah. It works.
Their last episode, which was like a very Back to the Future-y, yep. Did you see that one?
Yeah, no, I'm not caught
up. That was really great. And it was like Constantine was great. I had previously said like Constantine's just not as good on Legends. It was great. But all these shows, there's just too many of them. They're not as focused. I will say Titans is awesome. Titans is actually taking the place of Daredevil because we're not getting any more Daredevil. And I thought the fighting on Titans was like almost at Daredevil level. And now it's like, you know, I love it. I love how Batman it is. Like, this is the way Batman world should be referenced, not like Gotham's is. Like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to chime with you because I'm so on board with you. Titans is so damn good.
We needed
good.
This one. We needed it, damn it.
Like, and after Comic-Con, I saw the trailer. I was at their big unveiling event, and I'm like, oh, this is, oh, no. And then the first episode came out, but you could tell, I was talking to people about this, because it's on the streaming service, they knew they had the full season. It's not like network television now, you get two episodes. If it doesn't hit an audience, we're taking off the schedule.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll give you a mid-season. They bought it. Then halfway through, they're like, we love it, second season. Now seeing all the episodes except the last one, you can tell, oh, they knew what they were getting to.
Yeah.
But it is the birth of Nightwing. Like, they've never mentioned Nightwing. They haven't shown the costume anywhere, but, oh, he's going to be Nightwing.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that I was always like, Robin, he's really kind of young and he's a detective. But I looked up the actor. He's almost 30. He's 29 and a half. And I'm like, oh.
And I keep saying, if he's a young cop, usually takes cops, you know, till they're about my brother was a detective by the time he was 30. That was over 10 years ago.
He just looks young for his, but like,
you know, and obviously Robin,
he's so good.
Dick is going to pass that detective's exam like on the first try, guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to, unless he's trying to make it look bad or something. Yeah. Like, he has a great at home instructor.
And like the fact people are like, well, he's violent, this and that. It's like, no, it's the whole story about him pulling away from Batman because Batman's so violent. He doesn't want to be this. He burns his suit. Like, it's just, it's adult. I mean, it's a, but like, they don't tiptoe around anything. They, Dick, Bruce, Themyscira.
Yeah, they don't tiptoe. It's nice to see a show that does it occasionally once every 50 episodes mention the incident.
They talk about Donna Troy, the two of them watching as the sidekicks, watching the guys in the Hall of Justice room. They're just like, and then she whips out the lasso. I'm like,
yeah,
they're so
nerdy. She's like, I got a lasso too.
Yeah, it's like, they're not like, oh, you know, my mentor. And they don't, no, it's like, Bruce, you see, you know. And I know when they say it's going to be versus Batman, this is all.
Do you
all
think we're actually going to see Batman?
I said it's a over the edge Batman anime series episode where it's a dream or something. It's going to be a fake concept. But I love the show. Please, the only thing I will say negative is it's the way that the app is rolled out. It is not on PS4, it's not on Xbox, it's not on Amazon, so they're limiting who can see it. And I understand, I've talked to some
friends. I had to get a dongle.
Yeah, I understand, friends, like, it's very hard to program a thing for an app, so they probably went with their highest, like iTunes.
Got it.
And stuff like that, and Roku, so I'm like, they've got to work on that to get more people to be able to see it.
They might the PS4. Control, they might push with the
Android. And Xbox. I mean, it's like, that's your core audience playing those video games. Put it out there because it's so good. If you give it a shot, get the free trial on DC Universe.
Yeah.
Watch. It's the last episode that airs this week.
Is it? I thought there was one more episode.
Nah, it's 11. Yeah, I know too, but they said 12, but it's going to be the finale. But
no, but I thought that the last one was only 9. I think this might be 10 that's coming up. And then 11. I think they did put out the finale trailer, but I don't think the next one is the finale.
Oh. We'll see. We'll find out.
Titans, I agree, is a great step in DC TV, and I love that it's on the universe. And I love that their flagship show is so good, and it's really important for the DC universe in general. I agree that it's super nerdy. I love the action styling. We interviewed Kieran Walters, the kid that plays Robin, and he is in love with Robin, and he's in love with DC. Like, it was really cool to see someone. I felt very old because he's like actually 18, so I was like,
it the Jason Todd guy?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, you've never that known when comic so movies weren't good. Like, he's born like, and they just worked. So he's got the investment of like being a kid. Like, comic movies are everything.
The Jason Todd episode, you know, you did this with Bruce, this and that. Like, oh my God, they're like
So Titans is great.
Yeah.
The Elseworlds world. I really enjoyed Elseworlds because the comedy really worked for me. I love the body swap stuff.
John Wesley shipping that suit.
I wanted more.
But, like, just seeing him in that suit, you're like, damn, you're awesome.
I will say, I haven't talked about this yet. Batwoman. Up in the air with about now. I didn't hate it, didn't really love it. I didn't, and what I didn't love about it wasn't the action, it was just, I didn't know the character. I get she was just like not giving them anything.
Right,
she was stonewalling them.
Yeah.
Which is how her clever brain works. It was a bold choice that we're in this like sort of like Gotham is like the Gotham that happens in Dark Knight Rises.
I will say
with the Bane mask.
That they went to
And just Chicago. The fact that it's like messed up, Batman left town.
Yeah. And but they used Chicago instead of Vancouver. They shot there. Oh, yeah, and that's cool. Why it looks differently.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's what they used in Nolan's films,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Nolan's Chicago.
So I was like, yeah, I like that.
And I will say this, though. I am going to need that question answered. Where has he gone? And I love it. If that's what they're kicking off this show, and if you get some kind of answer at some point, that would please me.
I
want to
then go in the Titans world and live in that with the Batgirl if it gets a show. Right. I know it's on the CW and it's not the same as Titans, but live in that. Use the characters. I know, you know. They tiptoe around Batman. I'm like, you got Superman.
Yeah.
You got two Flashes.
Well, give us the most they've done.
Batman. Yeah, so that means that there's literally no Superman in what is the Earth 1 of the CW
world. Right.
Right.
So the Earth 30, I mean, so it's a little, but now they're going to do Crisis next year, and how far do you think they'll take that with their shows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
How far are they going to consolidate
everything?
That's what's
going to meld them all, I think.
Yes, that's what it's supposed to do, but really, as of now, it would only mean Supergirl crosses over, but then Black Lightning gets folded into. Mm-hmm. I don't see it crossing over to the app stuff.
I mean, that'd be the dream if they could cross over CW and app, but that'd be a huge legal, it'd be a
and
lot.
To be honest, I'm a little concerned about the app. I don't know what kind of business it has to do to keep all this great content that we've already promised.
If every show is good, if you know, they roll out Doom Patrol.
But what does their subscriptions need to look like to pay for all this?
I don't know.
That's what I'm concerned about. It's like, you have to generate a good amount of.
They've got Warner
Brothers
backing, which is good. Got that solid backing, and like they can keep making these things until one of them takes off, and then other people will follow suit. You'll go back and watch old episodes. Mm-hmm. You'll find other shows. They're gonna keep. I think they're gonna keep pushing out.
Yep.
I really liked Elseworlds. I'm really enjoying Flash. Flash is a new favorite character. Speaking of which, I am deeply in love with Flash, and my girlfriend knows that I'm trying to branch out from not just Marvel, since I did Marvel Movie News for so long.
This is amazing.
She got me this for Christmas, and it's far and away one of the greatest things I own.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That is awesome.
Wow. This is gorgeous. So it is a Flash, and then the inside is a Silver Age chronicle.
Oh, a little tree.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
That's just for you.
Isn't this like...
That's
yeah,
great.
Just for me, tucked away in there. And getting stuff like this and seeing how far we... This is like a nice jacket. This isn't a comic... Like,
right, yeah.
That's where we are with culture, the comic culture, and that's amazing to me. So I got that for Christmas this morning.
Yeah.
But the Flash is continuing to impress me. My friend Jess is Nora, and she's killing it.
Oh,
I love you,
nice.
Jess.
You know this, Jess?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're like long-term friends. I went to South Africa with her to the Black Sales set, and she's
wonderful.
Like a homie. So to see her like just killing it is makes me so happy.
Yes, very good addition to the season, for sure. And some complexity there. And she plays comedy great, and it's great. And I'd like the elongated man too.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Ralph's great. So I'm enjoying the CW this season. Now we still have future, but I believe Mike had to tuck out. It's 3:30.
I gotta.
I'm gonna like power through future, but I don't want you to be late to your next thing.
I gotta go.
Okay,
I gotta work. Yeah, but thank you for having us on here,
dude. Thank you so much.
You hold down the fort for DC.
I will.
We're
gonna
10 minutes because I gotta wrap
you.
Out myself.
We will be here though Friday.
Yes, Friday.
Friday, they're going to talk about Aquaman. Since I'm the only one that's seen it, I'm very excited to hear their thoughts. It's going to be great. And they finally have a movie to sing from the rooftops.
I can't wait.
You guys killed it in TV this year. I'm excited to hear your movie talk.
Thank you for having us here, guys.
Dude,
happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you,
man.
See you
guys.
So the future of Marvel and DC is also very, very bright. We cannot live on these as long, and we don't know what they are because they're not out yet. That's how the future works. In DC TV, there's Doom Patrol, which we mentioned, Swamp Thing, Stargirl, Pennyworth, Watchmen, Batwoman, The Boys, and Why the Last Man.
Incredible. I still have to finish The Boys. I'm like two of their last collections away. That's a series that I've read slowly over the past like 8 years. I just get those collections, but I never wrapped it up. But I love it, and I love that the Preacher guys are bringing in The Boys.
Yeah.
Doom Patrol is going to be bug nutty crazy. If you saw the Doom Patrol episode of Titans, it's great. It's weird. These DC Universe shows occupy a very weird space and timing, and I can feel Geoff Johns' influence more on this universe, even though Berlanti is still involved too. It just feels even more comic booky in a way, if that's possible. And I know the CW is full of that as well. Why the Last Man? They've been talking about it for years and years and years. I can't believe that's finally going to happen.
Yeah, like a decade almost. That show's been teased for a long time.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Watchmen, I'm very interested to see. I don't care about anything else other than the fact that it's Lindelof bringing a version of the Watchmen, and I know the guys, he's already said he's not recreating the book, so sorry, Alan Moore. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Also, sorry, Alan Moore, you're just too brilliant. I think Swamp Thing is going to be great, too.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it's going to be sort of a man in suit. suit, but probably with some CG too. I don't know. I can't wait to see what that's going to be. That's why I'm worried about the app. I want it to be here because I want all this stuff. What else? What other?
Stargirl and Pennyworth.
Yeah, Pennyworth is, again, that one that it's like Gotham, don't want it, don't know, will check it out. And if it's a great show, you got me. We heard it's also going to be more R-rated, a little bit more violence, a little bit more. So this is like kind of a recent retconning Alfred in the past 20, 25 years. They've made him more and more badass, kind of backloaded his history. But yeah, it doesn't excite me as much. Stargirl. Excited for her. Also a character I'm not super familiar with.
The cast is shaping up
but
crazy.
The cast is shaping up great. They just got
Joel McHale
just signed on to that, which is very big.
Yeah.
So they're going for it. What a great year. This is all 2019?
Yeah.
This is
there's
insane.
Also greenlit, like Astro City is another one, not in 2019. There's
and
also,
Young Justice is going to be here soon, too.
Yeah, there's a ton that are coming up. And a live chat, we talked about Krypton earlier in the show. It's in the past.
But it is also in the future.
But
it's coming back, exactly.
It's coming back. So there's a lot for DC TV. I'm most excited about Doom Patrol because of that one episode. There's also a rumor, I'm not sure if it's landed yet, that Hawk and Dove is getting a spinoff after their success on Titans.
Seems like big names to not...
To not bring them
hardly
into their
used,
own thing.
Only use them for a couple episodes. Man, are they something to look at.
And I didn't mention them. I meant to mention, there's one of my favorite parts of Elseworlds is a certain audio cue because of another show I mentioned earlier that I love dearly with Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh, that was great.
That moment made me so
that
happy.
That was very cool. Very cool.
But I'm also looking forward to Watchmen because I'm enjoying the Doom Clock in the comics. Where
oh, so am I. I'm reading that too.
I'm
I like
really
that.
Enjoying that.
I really am as well.
So it's showing you can do Watchmen without Alan Moore, which I didn't know was possible. That comic's giving me hope in the show because it's also the same.
Like Lindelof coming from Lost and Leftovers. It just so makes sense.
Yeah.
And the cast for that is awesome. You know, Tim Blake Nelson is in that too. I just heard him say on an interview, like, that's crazy. He's like, yeah, I'm in this Watchmen show. Yeah, that cast is insane. And it's HBO. It's gonna be great.
It's kind of like DC TV slate is in because they're going more adult while keeping their kids stuff on CW.
And The Boys is on. Right. So I'm okay to phase myself out of the CW stuff. I still have plenty of stuff that I can grow old with.
I think 2019 and 2020 are the years we're talking about where it's so much that it has to start filtering. I think with this much upcoming without losing stuff, we're going to have to start.
Yes.
DC TV, out of those, which ones are you most excited about?
Yeah, Swamp Thing. Actually, because I'm slightly familiar with Swamp Thing, so I'm curious, where is it going to be exactly?
I think Louisiana. App. Oh, no, is it the...
Oh, yeah, would you ask
like,
about
like,
where is it going to be set?
I think the app.
The app.
Oh, the app. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like the Atchafalaya Swamp. The Atchafalaya River Basin.
That's cool. Yeah.
She's a real Swamp Thing here. She's like, no, it needs to be in Appalachia.
Exactly. I need it where it's supposed to be. Yeah, I'm really excited about that one. I think, like kind of how you said, Koi, there's so many things that even as it is just with Marvel TV, like what's coming out, I'm like, okay, so like if I'm going to watch one of these to be able to like, you know, still have a life, which one would it be? Yeah, for sure, Swamp Thing.
I also want to say The Boys is going to be great. Before we move on to Marvel, because The Boys is a dark, depraved comic, and if they can translate that with the Preacher team, it's going to be good hands.
So good stuff. I hope they really go for it. Yeah. It's so dirty and great.
And right
funny.
Now we need the weird because we have so many comic things, and it's a commentary on the comic things.
Yeah.
DC movies. You guys have Shazam, Joker, Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn, and then the following year, Wonder Woman 84. Stacked deck.
Well, I think Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn is also 2020 Wonder Woman 84.
Got it.
So I love this idea. So we're coming out of the gate for the next 2 years with kind of a big one and a little one.
Yeah.
And the big one this year is Shazam. So I don't know. I was at a party last week and I ran into an executive who actually works for Warner Brothers. He wouldn't give me any information, but his opinion was that they needed to back away from Batman and Superman all the time, which is what they're kind of doing, which sucks for those of us who always want more Batman, but that's what they're doing. We got a Shazam movie and a Joker movie, which doesn't really sound like it's backing away from Batman. It's kind of leaning into it. They're doing a Batman indie film. What a weird experiment this is going to be. I'm more excited for the Joker film, I think, than anything because I love the people making it. It's got De Niro in it, Joaquin Phoenix, Todd Phillips. That is just insane. And Shazam, I'm hoping is a big surprise, like Into the Spider-Verse. And I hope it's a revelation. I hope it is dynamite. That director, David Sandberg, has been so cool in his Instagram, and he's been great engaging with the fan base, which, as we all know, could be so toxic. So, it looks great. And then, Harley Quinn is also a film. I'm like, all right. that could be one thing or the other. Not a thing I'm craving, but it could be, it could set the whole thing on fire. And then Wonder Woman 84, very excited for that sequel. Mm-hmm. But with DC Films, you got your, if you're a Superman or Batman fan, you better be looking at TV, because that's the only place you're going to get satisfaction over the next couple years. Maybe that's why they've been allowing the Bat to float about a little bit more in the TV space recently.
I'm wondering if that's a quiet, soft reboot that's coming, if they're going to lean into Batman on multiple shows.
Well,
and make
most
him
people don't think Ben Affleck will be back as the Bat. Do you guys? Or what do you
I want a movie that has young Batman bookended with two Ben Afflecks, the beginning and the after, and I want it to be like Batman Beyond, where he tells the story of his youth, or tells the next Batman. I either want a...
Keep wanting, kid. That ain't happening.
I mean, I either want a Court of Owls or a Batman Beyond. I either want him to go back, and that way you get a new Batman by way of... Because Wonder Woman and Superman are ageless. You can make that work. Yeah. But anyway, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I can dream. I'm really looking forward to the Joker movie. I love the idea of an indie Joker. I love Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Shazam because the comedy looks really funny to me. Birds of Prey has an incredible cast. I'm really excited for Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. That's a character I never thought we'd see. And then Wonder Woman 84, the first one impressed me so much. I can't discount that cast.
I suspect it will be better. I really think it will be better, because I think that there was room for improvement. It, like, Black Panther was such an important film, but it definitely has third act problems. And, you know, I'm really excited to see how are they gonna bring Chris Pine back into the movie.
In the 80s, the time difference, I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I really like them together as well. I think Wonder Woman was just beautiful. I'm curious about Shazam, and I'm curious about Joker. I'm curious.
Next year is curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, okay, let's see what you got.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, we'll see. It's like a $70 million, or it's a lower budget film, like 50, 60 or $70 million for the Joker film.
And like
seems
Scorsese toned, I hear.
Yeah, it seems like that should be a can't fail property.
Sure.
Yeah. But how will that play internationally? I don't know. It's a big experiment. If this works, that means that they're going to keep digging deeper and giving us these really cool movies, and it will be really establishing a different path than Marvel.
I want indie, like Logan films. I want more Joker indie, Logan indie. I want a weird new media take on Booster Gold with Zac Efron. I want these tiny little, like, smaller budget things and experiments. Mm-hmm. We also have Marvel shows. So, in 3 days, Runaways Season 2. We also have a mysterious female-focused Alan Heinberg show that has not yet been announced and landed. We also have a Loki show on the upcoming app. We have a Scarlet Witch show in the upcoming app. And we have a Bucky Falcon show. So Marvel TV is transitioning into the MCU flavor, as well as evolving their Cloak & Dagger Runaways universe. Runaways, the entire season. You can watch the whole thing in 3 days. They're letting it be bingeable. We're going to dive into Hulu with that. So Marvel TV is shifting away from Netflix. And we also have the, obviously, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 and 7. Now, I'm really excited for MCU-focused tie-ins. That is my one apology from Daredevil I can accept.
In 2019, are we going to get the announcement that Marvel Studios is sort of merging with Marvel Television, or will they remain as separate companies?
Loki, Scarlet Witch, and Bucky are going to merge.
Marvel Studios, right? They're not Marvel Television.
But they're going to be Marvel Studios on TV. I feel like Marvel
TV that's
is...
why I'm saying this can't go... How long can that go on? Doesn't that seem ridiculous? That is going to end. Mark my words.
Yeah.
That is going to merge. And because at the end of the day, even though it's, what is it, Alan Horn who runs... He runs... Disney, right?
Right, and then Jeff Loeb runs Marvel TV, as far as I know.
Yeah. All right, so, but who is that? Is it Ike Perlmutter?
Ike Perlmutter's the one above all of...
Right, at the Marvel side, but honestly, the company is owned by Disney. Disney can do whatever they want to do, I gotta think. It just sounds like they're gonna fuse those together, so I'm really curious to see how that happens.
And it sounds like they're taking more Marvel away from Ike, like, because we've heard only negative things about this character. I don't know Ike Perlmutter, obviously, but I've heard only negative things, and he stopped a lot of progress with certain things, so I feel like that power will be removed, and we'll see
how
that
goes. I just don't see two Marvel TV universes, do you? That's crazy. Even though they say that these are technically, we know that the connection has been tangential at best to the MCU. If we have a Falcon series happening, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like having Netflix and Hulu and, you know, all the other ones that we're having, but instead of Netflix, it's just like, now you have Disney+.
But now that Marvel Studios is producing those shows, I think it's even beyond it, because even though we had Netflix and Hulu, Marvel Television was producing that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was Jeff Loeb's arm of people. So very interesting, but that's not going to be coming out in 2019, right? Like Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like,
I don't think Falcon. I think Falcon and Bucky might be 2020, but I think Loki's going to come sooner than you think.
That's pretty cool. That's and the great thing about that is he can still be dusted and dead, and you can tell stories.
Play his chronology.
Yeah, all over the place.
It's going to be fun. I'm really excited for that world. Marvel TV. What's your most?
Yeah, pretty much the ones you just said. All of the above.
Runaways in 3 days.
Yeah. There's something about Marvel TV that, especially now that we're getting Loki and Scarlet Witch, now to, you know, our smaller screen. I'm so excited to see how that's going to work out, because Elizabeth Olsen, if you guys have not seen Sorry for Your Loss on Facebook Watch, mm-hmm. you should watch it. It's so good. I think she's just as wonderful
Facebook
on the big screen.
Facebook Watch.
Yeah, it's a thing. Wow. It's really
the future
good.
Is exhausting.
It is so good. Yeah, I know. I'm just adding another one for you guys. But she's so freaking good, and I think to see her consistently... what we have, like, maybe 8 episodes or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least that. I'll take what I can get.
Well, it's just, it's so great that you're going to be telling deeper stories with these characters.
Scarlet Witch, you totally can.
Yes.
You were never going to get, like, a Scarlet Witch standalone film. And this is, you can even tell more story like this.
And what a great way to possibly introduce mutants than a Scarlet Witch show with 8 hours to do it, since the DC and Fox thing's merging. I mean, Disney and Fox thing's merging.
Interesting.
I would love if the Scarlet Witch show turns out to be an M of House, where they reverse the House of M and she says mutants and
M of House.
I want M of House. In the Scarlet Witch show.
She says mutants.
She says mutants and it activates X genes. So finally, last thing, Marvel movies. We have Captain Marvel, Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man Far From Home, Dark Phoenix, New Mutants, and Men in Black International all next year. People forget Men in Black's a Marvel comic.
Forgot that. Yes.
That's one of the first Marvel comic films. And if you watch Men in Black 1, Marvel is in the banner. Not
oh
the Marvel
God.
You know and love, not the flip, but
that's
it says
funny.
Marvel
that's
Entertainment.
True, because it's in the really skinny font.
It's in a papyrus looking font.
Yes. Yes.
So that was in an OG, fun fact, Marvel film. Not an MCU film. So, very quickly, Captain Marvel, I think, is going to be great. I think that Nick Fury... I think Captain Marvel is going to be great, and I have some theories about it. We don't have time to talk about them because I could go for a long rant. Avengers Endgame, I love the trailer that it basically encapsulated all 3 Iron Man films in 20 seconds. The fact that he says a line of dialogue from Iron Man 2, the fact that he's wearing similar clothing to Iron Man 1 when he's in the cave, and the fact that the entire plot of Iron Man 3 is that he's afraid of dying alone in space, claustrophobic, is encapsulated in the first 20 seconds is brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think that that Ant-Man at the very end might be a Skrull in the Endgame trailer. I also think that...
So you have a lot of potential theories for that.
Yeah, I've thrown spaghetti at the bowl. But Endgame looks incredible. I'm so glad the trailer didn't give us too much. Spider-Man Far From Home is going to change the game. I really think it's going to leap into a new world of Spider-Man, especially since 2018 did so well. I cannot wait to see. The first one did a great thing with Fathers and Sons with Michael Keaton and Tom Holland. I think that Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be a big brother figure. So I think they're going to play with the John Hughes dynamic. Since Jake Gyllenhaal was on Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2, I think that's not a miscast. I think it's interesting they're going to have a Spider-Man type as a big brother type to Tom Holland. I think they're going to be friends at first, get betrayed. That'll be fun. Dark Phoenix, I think they might have made the Skrulls look more like Marvel Skrulls in the 3 months of reshoots. I don't know if that means that's the beginning of the soft reboot.
So wait, you think that there are Skrulls in Dark Phoenix?
Yeah.
But this is not confirmed. This is just a theory.
There's been writing about Skrulls in Dark Phoenix. We haven't seen it.
Well, I have heard that they're both allowed to use Skrulls.
I think they're in Dark Phoenix.
But only Fox could use the Super Skrull. But now...
I think the three months of reshoots might tie things together. Again, this is all like crazy...
What if you just saw
theories?
Like some shaped something... Some Skrull shifted to something that looked vaguely orange and rocky for like a second. And then like go back into something else. Like,
I lose it. And gets a flame... His arm smolders.
I think, yeah, Captain Marvel, I think, is going to be awesome. I think, it's like it's the secret under the radar right now. Just don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't even mind it. They're like, look over here.
New Mutants, I love the first trailer. And Men in Black International is, of course, Valkyrie and Thor. So that's another exciting duo. Marvel movies very quickly.
I'm freaking pumped for all of them. I can't contain my excitement. Avengers Endgame, I cried, like, watching the trailer. I'm so freaking excited, especially Captain Marvel 2. Really, really, really pumped. I do have a countdown for both of those. Spider-Man Far From Home, of course. Dark Phoenix, I'm curious to see where that's going to go. New Mutants, same. Men in Black International, what the heck? Did not know that that was Marvel, so I'm really, really
Malibu
pumped.
Back in the day.
Yeah. So, what? Yeah. Excited, pumped, can't even.
So much.
I'm so interested to see what happens with this Dark Phoenix movie. That is like the big question because these reshoots, I agree. Like, I would like the Phoenix needs to end that universe, something, you know, and like it needs to go out one just like that needs to be a finger snap that happens. Like, they need to tie it together. Wouldn't it be something? This is the biggest story in the history of X-Men comics. They didn't really give it its due once. They're out and out calling it that now. We all know that there is a question mark in the future of mutants. Fox, I love you. I have loved working for you. Land this one, please. Yeah. I beg you. I really hope they do. And obviously, Infinity War is something to look forward to. I'm just so excited that we have Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel Shazam back to back, practically.
Year.
And then in the same month as Shazam, you're getting Infinity War. Like, it all comes
the
quick.
Spring is
you
nuts.
Don't have to wait too long. Mm-hmm. It's not like being a DC fan where if you want Batman on screen again, good luck.
sorry, Superman, no, not here. yeah, so.
So what you're saying is you want Dark Phoenix to be there. Oh, Swan song?
I do want to say, oh my God, oh, that's good. I do want to say that I do love the Hulk again, and I can't wait for the smart Hulk that's going to come.
In the shield outfit. Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, you're getting the intelligent Hulk. Here you go.
Yeah, Mr. Fix-It's coming at you. I hope he's gray, man. Can you imagine if Hulk comes back after all this time and he's gray? Oh, we finally get gray Hulk. They say Avengers Assemble, we get gray Hulk. Like, there's so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this ran a bit long. I'm sorry. Yes, bit. Langley. Tinfoil hat theories are fun because we get to guess. Love you, Langley. It's been so good to be back with you guys. I love seeing so many familiar names in the live chat. I'm going to try to do this every year. I love the DC Marvel team-ups for Christmas.
It's great. It's so much fun. It is one of the most fun times because I love hosting the DC show, but it's a very different... You're not constantly slapping each other on the back for your successes over there. It's like, we work hard on that show. It's like, your little show, you're going to be like, we're breaking good records. It's like, come on, please, Aquaman. Aquaman, you're my only hope. Did he just say Aquaman's his only hope? Yes, he's our only hope. It's what we got.
And over here, Optimism Boy, making it work. I'm very excited. Where can they find you on the internet, man?
You can find me as my own manure, laying fertile field to new growing crops in the upcoming years, at Adam Gertler. Twitter and Instagram. I cook a lot of stuff. I talk about a lot of stuff. Get yourself a Ninja Foodie if you want a pressure cooker that also crisps like an air fryer. It's pretty dope. I use mine all the time. And we could trade recipes and stuff. And that's it. Yeah, see you guys soon.
Absolutely. Amy?
Yeah, you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. We do have a Marvel movie news show this Thursday at 1. Yes, so that is still happening, so please join us for that right here on Popcorn Talking. Yeah, just follow me, because I do stuff.
And Mike Kalinowski is at Mike Kalinowski. He was here. He'll be there. He'll be on the DC show, which we said will be 11 a.m. this Friday, and we'll be joined by at Roxy Stryer, at Jay Quasto is out of town.
And you can find me, oh yeah, today was an annual, there is still a regular scheduled issue on Thursday.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CoyJandreAU. I'm also on Collider Heroes every Wednesday. I pop up at Nerdist, I pop up in Geek and Sundry. I also did an entire set visit, and in the entire cast, 14-member cast of The Runaways for Season 2 is online. It was actually getting posted while we did the show. I interviewed every cast member, I interviewed the showrunners, I interviewed Jeff Loeb, which was incredible. So all of that's on my YouTube, Twitter, I'm going to retweet all that, so if you're a Runaways fan, that's coming at you. And then this week we are doing a bunch over on Collider Heroes, so the world is good and full of stuff. And I just interviewed Todd McFarlane this week at a Venom Jump Up, and then Rob Liefeld last week had a full hour with Rob Liefeld talking about Once Upon a Deadpool, all those things. Go if you like Image Comics, Todd McFarlane, Runaways, Rob Liefeld, glorious comic age, and this was amazing to be back. Thank you guys so much for having me, and I love Marvel movie news, and I miss you guys, so I'll talk to you at the latest next year.
Bye.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.